Hello, I'm Liz Curtis-Higgs. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Word by Word. All this month, we're looking at the slightly bad girls of the Bible. That's right. Sarah, Hagar, Rebecca, Leah, and Rachel. Oh, I know. They are mostly good, but they're still slightly bad, which means they look a lot like us. Welcome to Word by Word with Liz Curtis-Higgs. Each weekend here in the Faith Radio Network, we're looking at a different biblical character. Today, suppose we spend some time with Rebecca, who was about to become the wife of Isaac, who was the son of Abraham. Now, Abraham was very choosy about who his son was going to marry, so he sent his chief servant back to Haran, because no way did he want his son to marry a Canaanite. Genesis 24:38 tells us, "Go to my father's family and to my own clan and get a wife for my son." I mean, he had to be picky. This young woman was going to carry on the blessing of God. The servant took 10 of his master's camels and left. 10 camels is a lot of camels. They were basically the Rolls Royce of the ancient Near East. Not only did they have a lot of stuff to carry, but honestly, camels were a display of wealth. They were meant to impress. Genesis 24:11 says, "It was toward evening, the time when the women go out to draw water." Makes me think of the woman at the well, who, you'll remember, didn't go out in the evening. She went out in the heat of the day just to avoid the other women who buzzed about her all the time. Well, this is a different young woman. This is Rebecca, and the servant is praying, seeking God's blessing on the bride he's going to choose. Genesis 24:15 says, "Before he had finished praying," so before he had even finished, "Rebecca came out with her jar on her shoulder." Now, he didn't pray for a knockout, but she was. The girl was, Genesis 24:16 tells us, the girl was very beautiful. Now look, don't fret about the fact that she's pretty, because the Bible only mentions appearance when it matters to the story. So we don't need to say, "Oh, well, but I'm not beautiful, I'm not pretty." First of all, of course you are to God. Of course you are. But here, it's important to the story. And she's a virgin. And I'm curious about that, because could you tell just by looking at her? Maybe it was her style of clothing or style of hair. Certainly the biblical narrator knows she's a virgin. And it's not a moral issue here so much, but we had to ensure that the first child she bore was of Isaac's seed. Again, it mattered to the story. She went down to the spring, filled her jar, and came up again, Genesis 24:16. Now, forget any kind of picture of a brick wishing well with pulleys and buckets and all that. This would have been a spring-fed well, and you went down a circular set of stone steps deep below the ground, sometimes as far as 140 feet. It was a long way down until you hit water. The servant asked for a drink, but Rebecca quickly complied and offered her hospitality. "I'll draw water for your camels, too, until they have finished drinking," Genesis 24:19. Now, let's just talk about that a minute. There are 25 gallons per camel. That's how much they had to drink. We had 10 camels, okay, and her water jar would have held 3 gallons. I'll do the math for you. This would have required 84 trips up and down those stone steps. This girl deserved a big diamond. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took out a gold nose ring. Well, not a diamond, but not bad, because it weighed a becca. That's what it's called. A fifth of an ounce. A becca for Rebecca. You gotta love it. And a nose ring, no less. Well, apparently body piercings go way back. And in addition to the nose ring, 2 gold bracelets weighing 10 shekels. Understand, 10 shekels was a whole year's wages for a laborer. So she had 2 years of wages just on her wrist. This was the down payment on her bride price. In South Africa, they call it the lobola. Then he asked, "Whose daughter are you?" Here in the South, we say, "Who are your people?" Well, she was the granddaughter of Abraham's brother. In other words, perfect. Now a new player walks on the stage, and I believe the music moved to a minor key. Genesis 24:29 says, "Now." Whenever we see "now" in the Bible, it's an introduction of a new character or a change in the story. Now, Rebecca had a brother named Laban. Let's just say Laban is the kind of guy you're going to find it easy to resent later on in the story. And he hurried out to the man at the spring. Why was he in such a hurry? I bet it was the jewelry. Oh, sure enough, as soon as he had seen the nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's arms, I told you, it's the jewelry. So he greeted this servant. Come, you who are blessed by the Lord, why are you standing out here? That is like so over the top. The servant described his mission, and Laban and his mother jump at the chance. Here is Rebecca, take her and go. My goodness, the jewelry kind of did it, and knowing who this guy belonged to, they were in. So we have to wonder, did Rebecca's heart just leap at the news? Oh boy, foreign lands, a wealthy husband. Or did her spirit sink, thinking, I'm going to leave behind everyone I know and love? So they offered Rebecca take her and go, but then they called Rebecca and asked her, will you go with this man? Isn't that fascinating to me? Because they are letting Rebecca actually choose. Will you go? This was not, of course, typical of this time and place to allow a woman to choose. She was like cattle, bought and sold. But I think this gives us a clue to Rebecca's personality. If she thought it was her own idea, she might be more willing. I so get that. So our bold, decisive Rebecca, when they say, will you go with this man? I will go, she said, Genesis 24:58. Like her future father-in-law, Abraham, she was willing to take this journey on faith, to leave everything she knew and marry a man she had never met. It's impressive. So Rebecca, her nurse, her handmaidens, climbed on those camels and headed south. Camels, by the way, were only used for long-distance journeys. Little short trips, you used a donkey. Long trips, you needed a camel. Rebecca rides off to meet her bridegroom. This is so romantic. Truly it is. Genesis 24:63 says, Isaac went out to the field one evening to meditate. He's a quiet, contemplative, solitary man of faith. And as he looked up, the Bible says he lifted his eyes, he saw camels approaching. Now surely he recognized his dad's caravan. Rebecca also looked up, and she saw Isaac. Okay, I have to admit, I'm kind of amused. When Isaac looked up, he saw camels. When Rebecca looked up, she saw Isaac. Oh, maybe the difference between men and women in a nutshell, eh? She got down from her camel. Genesis 24:64. The scholars say she was showing respect, but you and I know the woman did not want Isaac to see her awkward dismount. Rebecca said, who is that man in the field coming to meet us? Genesis 24:65. So when her servant told her who it was, Rebecca took her veil and covered herself. Oh yeah. After a 500-mile camel ride, I would want to be covered in a queen-size quilt and hope the man stood upwind. But this veil that she covered herself, this was the mark of a marriageable maiden. So it was the sign for Isaac. This is the one. Isaac brought her into the tent of his mother, Sarah. Ooh, that's really an honor. This was a young man who loved his mother, the mother who had waited 90 years to give birth to him, her only son. Yeah, there was a lot of love there and a lot of loss when Sarah died. So for Isaac to bring Rebecca into the tent of his mother, a very strong statement. This tent had a new mistress now, and he married Rebecca, so she became his wife, Genesis 24:67. Now, for my money, this is the best part. And he loved her. Oh, it doesn't say that very often in the Bible. And he loved her. Now, Sarah and Rebecca had more in common than just the tent that she was living in. 20 years went by. Isaac is now 60. Rebecca was probably 35, give or take. It was kind of a Michael Douglas, Catherine Zeta-Jones kind of thing. But Rebecca, like Sarah before her, had a fertility problem. 20 years, no babies. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife, because she was barren, Genesis 25:21. So we have another barren woman. What's this pattern today saying to us? Well, an empty womb makes room for God to work in their lives. And don't you have to love the fact that Isaac's solution was to pray? He pleaded, he entreated, he appealed to the Lord, depending on the translation. Oh, you gotta love when a husband prays for his wife. And in fact, for him, prayer was his only option because Isaac, think about this, is the only patriarch who was monogamous. This is his only wife, so this was his only chance to have sons. Isaac honored Rebekah, and he trusted God. Wow. Wow, it's impressive. His own father slept with Hagar, and as we'll see later in the story, his own son will have four wives. But Isaac, he honored Rebekah and trusted God. Genesis 25:21 says, "The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant." Now, it's not miraculous like Sarah's. She wasn't 90, but it is still thrilling. The babies jostled each other within her. They pressed hard on each other. They clashed inside her, other translations say. And this is so painful that Rebekah panics, and she said, "Why is this happening to me?" Bless her heart. In the Message, it's perfectly worded for Rebekah the drama queen. "If this is the way it's going to be, why go on living?" Bless her. You see, her prayer was answered. Actually, her husband's prayer, though we have to assume she prayed too, eh? But in either case, it did not turn out like they expected. She was in pain. She could feel lots of jostling going on in her womb, and apparently that was not something anybody else had ever seen. And so she went to inquire of the Lord, Genesis 25:22. She didn't want to complain. She wasn't asking for a refund. She just wanted to know, now what? I love the fact that when Rebekah sought God, she didn't just pray to God. She went to God, to a sacred meeting place. Her communication with the Lord seems to be direct. Whoa. I mean, we know that Noah and Moses and Abraham spoke to God, but here we have a woman asking God about her pregnancy. Wow. God creates us, God loves us, and God listens to us. Even the small things, if they matter to us, they matter to God. The Lord said to her, so yeah, this is a direct communication, "Two nations are in your womb." By the way, Rebekah is the first woman in the biblical record to have twins. First time it's recorded in the Bible, which suggests it may have been the first time. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger. Now, this is a sure sign that God is involved, because it's just flat illogical. Man always favors the stronger. God here favors the weaker. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Word by Word with Liz Curtis Higgs. Today, spending time in the book of Genesis, going verse by verse, word by word, as it were, through the story of Rebekah. You can listen from the beginning on the podcast on myfaithradio.com or lizcurtishiggs.com, and you'll find a study guide for today's study on both websites as well. Just 6 questions let you go deeper into God's Word. You'll find a more, even more in-depth study of this story in my book, Slightly Bad Girls of the Bible. Got a new edition released this summer. It's been expanded to include discussion questions for book clubs and a study guide for Bible studies. Oh, and do pop on Pinterest if you're so inclined. Pinterest.com/Liz Curtis Higgs. Check out Rebekah's lime green Pinterest board. Why lime green? Because she's both sweet and sour. Back to our story. When the time came for Rebekah to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. Of course, we knew that. God said that would be the case. Indeed, it is. Now, today, you can hear the heartbeat well before the birth. You can see the baby on an ultrasound. But then, oh, it would be considered very superstitious for you to know anything about the birth. Only God could know such a thing. But the truth is, he told Rebecca. I suspect she kept this news to herself and acted surprised. The first to come out was red. His whole body was like a hairy garment, so they named him Esau. Esau means hairy. After this, his brother came out. I love how easy this sounds, you know, this birth process. Immediately afterwards, the NEB says. Listen, I talked to a labor and delivery nurse, and I said, what's the typical time between twins? She said 6 to 10 minutes was typical. 3 to 4 minutes was the shortest she had ever seen. But in 11 years of delivering babies, she had never seen two babies come out almost simultaneously. It's an element of the miraculous. And his hand, Genesis 25:26 tells us, his hand is grasping Esau's heel, so he was named Jacob. Jacob means, one of the definitions, is heel. So we have two sons here, hairy and heel, who are complete opposites from head to toe. The boys grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country. Matthew Henry, 300 years ago, said he was a man addicted to his sports. Man, does that sound like now? Well, a man addicted to his sports, that's Esau. Jacob, of course, was the opposite of his brother, while Jacob was a quiet man staying among the tents. So two very different children, not a problem, if the parents see the differences and honor both. Sadly, that's not what we have here in the Isaac and Becky family. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau. One of the translations makes it very clear. Isaac loved Esau because he was fond of game. So not even necessarily because he was fond of Esau. It's so selfish, so sad. It was more like he cared what the boy could do for him than who his son was. But, oh, you know in the Bible what but indicates, but, comparison, Rebecca loved Jacob. Author LaJoyce Martin said Jacob and Esau were born to divide husband and wife, and indeed they did. 40 years went by. Man, time goes fast in the Bible. We're picking up at Genesis 27:1. When Isaac was old, and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see. Also translated, his eyes were dim. He was almost blind. The Hebrew literally means like a lantern burning down. Hands up if you get this. Yes, okay. We need a bright light to see anything these days. He called for Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." Interesting, when he has two, what he's really saying is, "My favorite son, the one I care about." Isaac sent Esau out to hunt wild game, so that I may give you my blessing before I die. Now look, the blessing of one's father was a huge deal. It was basically a verbal will. The entire inheritance went to the oldest, and it was done so by a blessing. Now Rebecca, there's our now again, changing the story. Now Rebecca was listening as Isaac spoke to his son Esau. You just wonder, is she listening on the other side of the tent flap? This scene is so much like Sarah listening to Abraham when the angels of the Lord came to visit. Well, now we have Rebecca listening to Isaac. Other translations, she overheard the conversation. In fact, she was eavesdropping. And this is where Becky goes bad. Rebecca said to her son Jacob, "Look, I overheard your father say to your brother Esau." So overheard, she is not confessing to spying here. "Now, my son, listen carefully and do what I tell you." Remember that phrase, "do what I tell you," Genesis 27:8. She sent him off to get goats so he could beat Esau to the punch and steal his father's blessing. Jacob is only worried about one thing. Listen to this. "My brother Esau is a hairy man and I am a smooth man." Is that not an odd thing to worry about? What he isn't worried about, what he isn't doing, is refusing to do it in the first place. He's just concerned that Esau's hairy and he's not. He goes on in Genesis 27:12, "What if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him." Oh, appear to be. Yeah. The Amplified says, "a cheat and an imposter, and would bring down a curse on myself rather than a blessing." So Jacob, you see, is more concerned with being safe than being right. He's worried about breaking the 11th commandment, thou shalt not get caught. Look how Rebecca responds. My son, let the curse fall on me. Wait, she is willing to be hated by her husband and cursed by God as long as her son is blessed? Does Rebecca think that she can atone for her son's sins here? Oh, honey, that is not sacrificial. That is blasphemous. Just do what I say. Go and get them for me. So there again is that do what I say. Not do what is right, do what is best, do what will bless your father, do what will honor the Lord. Oh, none of that. You just do what I say. So Rebecca dressed Jacob in Esau's clothes so he would smell like him, and she put a goatskin scarf and gloves on him so he would feel like him, and she sent Jacob in to Isaac with a platter full of food and a mouthful of lies. After much back and forth, Isaac is convinced that this is his son Esau, and he blesses Jacob with lands and riches and power. And we watch this happen, and it's like, how is this possible, Lord? Why did you not intervene? God is not honoring Jacob's deception here. What he is doing is honoring his word and his covenant with Abraham. Esau, of course, is none too thrilled when he finds out what happens. So Rebekah tells Jacob, your brother Esau is consoling himself with the thought of killing you. Boy, this woman really had a way with words. He's consoling himself with the thought of killing you, Genesis 27:42. Now then, my son, do what I say. Okay, is this like the third time? Yes, it is. Just do what I say. But if Jacob had not done what she said, he wouldn't be in this fix. Rebekah tells Jacob, flee at once to my brother Laban in Haran. Genesis 27:43. Also translated very appropriately, run for your life. Get out of here. Get away from Esau. That's the LRV, the Lizzie Revised Version. The Bible continues, stay with him for a while until your brother's fury subsides. The King James says, tarry with him a few days. Tarry a few days after traveling 500 miles. Sure. See, Rebecca thinks this is going to be a short time. Basically, you know, a month or two maybe. Instead, it's 20 years until Jacob comes home. This would be like sending your son to college at Thanksgiving, and you don't see him again until he's 38 years old, on his fourth marriage, and has 12 kids. She says, when your brother is no longer angry with you and forgets what you did to him. Oh, what Jacob did to him. She is taking absolutely no credit or blame for what has just happened. She says, when your brother is no longer angry with you and forgets. Esau never forgets. Who could? She's also underestimated the memory of God. She says, I'll send word for you to come back from there. Once again, large and in charge, Rebecca. Go here, do this. I'll decide when you come home, all of that. But the sad truth is, she would never see her beloved Jacob again. Never. Now, I have to tell you, commentators have had a field day with Rebecca. Some see her as a deceiving, lying woman, as shrewd and unscrupulous. Do what I say, do what I say, do what I say. Others see her as clever, active, and energetic, clear-sighted and courageous, and a woman ahead of her time. Oh, my. Which is she? I'd say all of the above. In other words, she's good and bad. And just like us. Some commentators believe Rebecca was simply making sure what God told her about her son would come true. We get that. It's possible. but it's left, frankly, ambiguous. Rebecca is imperfect, just like you, just like me. Next weekend, we're going to follow her son, Jacob, as he goes in search of a wife. Sound familiar? You've been listening to Word by Word with Liz Curtis Higgs. Listen again on the podcast, myfaithradio.com, lizcurtishiggs.com, and do look for the Bible study guide for this show. It's an easy-to-print, 2-page deal. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we look at Rebecca's story, and it seems so complex and not very pretty, Lord. Not a lot to admire here. And yet, you blessed her womb, Lord. You did. You gave her 2 sons, and you knew exactly the outcome when that happened. Lord, we simply have to trust you. It isn't about whether we're good or bad. It's about what a great God you are. In Jesus' name. Thanks for listening to Word by Word. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. Why not share this audio link with a friend? And take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player so you never miss an edition of Word by Word with Liz Curtis Higgs.